Okay. Luke chapter 1. Where did I leave off in 37, 38? Okay. I did 38 and start in 39, right? Okay. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Because, lo, as soon as thy voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, because for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. Excuse me. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were broad, throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited the redeemed and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all them that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us, that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert until the day of his showing into Israel. A lot here tonight. Let's see what we can do with it. We ended up in verse 38. And I want to go back and I want to reiterate from about 37, I think I want to do. Because with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you remember what I told you about that verse? Right. What it literally says, the word nothing there is three words. upas rhema, which is nothing at all spoken, shall be impossible with God. Right? For with God, nothing at all spoken shall be impossible. So whatever God says, he is able to fulfill whatever he proclaims in word. Well, that tells me something about our nature. That tells me something about our nature. And this teaching on Thursday nights we've been doing now for a couple years is about the mind of Christ, right? So if this is something about the mind of Christ, whatever I speak, or whatever God speaks, he is capable of fulfilling. So what should I do if I'm walking in that nature? What should I do? Absolutely. You should fulfill whatever you speak. We shouldn't speak loosely in words and say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and then not fulfill it, because that is, we could say, blasphemous against the nature of God, wouldn't we? That's going absolute opposite of God's nature. If I say I'm going to do something, what should I do, Bob? Live up to what I'm saying. And that's what God's saying here. He's teaching us a character here that if whatever he says, he will fulfill it. Now, most people say they believe that, don't they? How many do? Very few. See, most of the church say, oh, I believe whatever God says, but you just say, well, what about this little word all over here? Or this little word over here? And they always go straight up in the air over it. Say, it's not right. Because it's not what they believe in their head. They don't believe what God believes. They believe what their images in their mind tell them about whatever's in there. Okay? So, because with God, nothing at all spoken shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it to me according to thy word. Now, what did I tell you about that verse? That is the correct response to God's will. God speaks and says something, and how did she respond? She didn't say, well, wait a minute. Why are you picking on me? Wait a minute. Why should I do that? Yeah. See? Right. The correct response for a son of God is, here I am, send me. Exactly what she said. Be it unto your handmaiden as you have spoken. She didn't know or understand everything that was said, but she said, whatever you say as the messenger of God, let it be unto me as you've spoken, right? She did recognize he was a messenger of God, didn't she? Right? So, and look what happened immediately when she agreed with the messenger. What did he do? He departed. His job's finished. See? That's all a messenger's here for. Tell you about it. See? There's what's wrong with the church world. The church world gives you the word, and then they try to drive it down your neck. Right? See, that's not what it's about. It's, there's the word. What are you going to do with it? All I have to do is agree with it. Isn't that what she did? She only agreed with what the Lord had said to her, and she'd already been prophesied to by another messenger, hadn't she? And it was planted, and then she went and seen Elizabeth, and when these words come up here, no problem, right? She agreed with it. Elizabeth? Let me see what it says. Elizabeth means an oath of God, an oath or a covenant of God. God made a covenant with her, didn't he? And he brought forth John the Baptist from her.
She hid her word for a while.
Well, that's a season. But see, there's a season before the son comes forth, the word is hidden, isn't it? Under the law, was the word open? Was the word open like it is today? No. And John the Baptist was under the law, wasn't he? And there was a time coming, and when Jesus came, he was the one who was bringing forth the opening up of this new covenant. So it wasn't yet time for everything yet. Okay, where am I at now? 39. And Mary arose, it says, in those days. Now, how many days did it take her to raise up and do something? Don't you think she could raise up in one day? What do you think, Steve? It should say, and Mary arose in that day. In the day that the messenger departed from her, she knew she had something to do. Okay? So she went to see Elizabeth. And she went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And Judah means what? for celebration. Literally, the language says celebrated or celebration and praise. Okay? So a lot of times it's more of a celebration. When we say praise, what does that word give you a connotation of? A lot of things, but it says, to me, praise is more, I'm trying to give you an understanding the way I see it. Praise is something more, no, I'm not what I'm trying to say, I'm trying to say, praise is more of something more, restrained, not as loose as the word celebrated, because in a celebration, that's why he chose the Jews, because they knew how to get down and party. You know, they knew how to celebrate. They would party for weeks, you know, in their celebrations. And so in celebration, I think in Judah, I like the connotation of the word celebration more because it's a freer, there's a good word, it's a freer form of worship and celebration and praise. If it's celebration, it's more up than in praise. It doesn't seem as more restricted. How's that word?
Amplified says saluted.
Saluted? Well, that's a greeting. That word in here should be, where did it say that at, Bob?
40.
In 40? It's saluted Elizabeth, yeah, but it should be greeted. We were talking in 39 there on the word Judah.
I couldn't find the word.
Okay. Okay, that was in Judah. And the word Judah means praise, celebration or praise. Okay? It's all right. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted, or literally the word is greeted, Elizabeth. Okay? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you see there? What do you see there? I see Elizabeth as creation. Can you see this? I can see her as the creation, and she was carrying something inside of her, right? And along come Mary, who was, how could you designate Mary in this connotation here? Well, how would you designate her? She'd have to be first fruit, wouldn't she? She was carrying the first fruit, and she was the first fruit part of it. He was part of her. So I see her as a first fruit here, the Christ coming forth. And look what happens. And when the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the first fruit, speaks to creation, what happened? What's going to happen in you when the Christ speaks to your creation? See? Because this thing that was alive in her in the natural realm came to life in the spiritual, but only by being greeted by the Christ in Mary. How are you going to come to life? Because the Word of God, the Christ, speaks to you. See? Because the Word of God, Christ, speaks to you, and that should cause joy inside of you. And it causes something to come alive, which is that son. Right? Just happened to be in her womb. And a womb speaks of what? Creation? Well, guess what? We all got wombs spiritually. We've got a womb to create, just like our Father created. We're in His image. We created just like Him. We have the ability of creation. And if we can't believe we have the right of creation from our Father, you know what? We're not sons, are we? We have the right of creation. And it says, Elizabeth was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Now this goes against the grain of the Pentecostal and Apostolics, because they said nobody had the Holy Ghost, nobody got the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. That's not what this book says, is it? I can show you in the Psalms where David said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. And I asked a Pentecostal guy that one time, you know what he told me? He said, well, he had the Holy Spirit on him, but he didn't have it in him. That sounds like a good intellectual answer, didn't it? He had the Holy Spirit on him, but he didn't have it in him. I don't find any justification for a statement like that. David had the Holy Spirit. You know what? All of creation has the Holy Spirit in them. They just don't know it. How was Adam created? He was formed first out of dust, and then the Spirit of God put in him, and he became a living soul. He didn't have no life until the Spirit of God came in him. Well, that Spirit of God is the same one in all of creation, because Adam was a type of all humanity. He just became activated, is all it was. His body came to life. Like Paul said, it's not I that lives, but the Christ that lives within me. See, it's the Spirit in you that makes the life in you, makes you motivate everything you do by the Spirit of Christ in you. Okay? And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Prophesying. You're going to be blessed among who? What's the woman represent? Amongst all the souls. What are we all called? Living souls. You're going to be blessed among all the souls. And blessed is the fruit of whose womb? Your womb. See? You know what the fruit of my womb is? Christ. Because when he came upon me as the soul of his female side, he created, he deposited his DNA in us, didn't he? Just like these women were. This is symbolism of showing exactly what's happening in us. When the Word of God speaks to you, it deposits something into your spirit, into your soul, into that spiritual womb, and that's where the life comes from. See, it's not by, like you said a while ago, Bob, about slobbering on an altar, crying on an altar. That ain't got nothing to do with bringing life into anybody, does it? The life is when the Spirit of God comes upon you, just like he did upon Mary or Elizabeth. They came, became a child. Well, like Mary was the first one to come with the Spirit, to be born by the Spirit. verse 43 says this, "And whence is this to me?" Now, who's speaking? No. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she began to speak in verse 42. And then she says, "And whence is this to me?" Or literally, from what source or what's the cause of this happening to me? You know, why me? Right? Why should I? I'm no different than anybody else. Why should I be put in this place? You know what that is? That's a little bit of reality. Responsibility coming. Huh? Yeah. Responsibility comes because of the pregnancy. See, the pregnancy inside of you, this child that's being, this holy thing that's in you that has to be birthed out, brings a responsibility. Ask any mother when she has a child in her womb, there's some point in this pregnancy you're going to know, I got a responsibility to this child that's coming out for a long time, haven't I? See, too late now. You can't say, whoop, take that and back, give me one later. I don't want it right yet. See, once that child is conceived, the responsibility falls upon mother to grow up now. Okay? And says, "That the mother of my Lord should come to me." Tell me she wasn't speaking by the Holy Spirit. Because she knew that the words that Mary spoke to her, somehow she conceived without speaking to her, because they hadn't seen each other for a long time, that she was pregnant right then. And she was only 3 months pregnant. Probably no one could have noticed it with the dress they had then, could they? No one could have told she was pregnant. She wasn't even betrothed to her husband. She wasn't even married yet. They were only in what we would call engaged, right? No, he was 6 months ahead of her. So if he was 6 months, what is he? What was she? John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. So when he was birthed, Mary was 3 months pregnant, see? You get what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, where am I at? 43? She was speaking by the Spirit because she knew that she said, "The mother of my Lord." Now, how did she know she was with child? She hadn't said anything yet. said, for 3 months, no one could tell that from the distance. I mean, walk up and say, hey, no one could know. See, she was prophesied that the Spirit was speaking through her because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she prophesied and told Mary, you got the Lord in you. You got God in you. My Lord is in your belly. See, he's being birthed right out of you. The mother of my Lord. Right? And why come to me? Because, lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation or greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my what? Not for, but in joy. The baby leaped in joy. See? Now, what does that say? 1 Peter 1 and 23 said, we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. What do you think just happened right there? Creation inside of Mary, created by the salutation that she spoke, she created life in who? Elizabeth. Did she not? See? And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God can come through any vessel that God chooses. Mary had no idea. She'd just been told, and she said, whatever you say, Lord, that's okay with me. And she took a trip to see her cousin, see Elizabeth, and guess what? Elizabeth says, you got my Lord in you. And by the words being spoken, saying, when you said hello in your greeting, you know, guess what? You created something in someone else. So how do you know that what you speak in a day can't create life in someone else? Do you know it? Okay. If you're real attentive, a lot of times you will. Does that mean you'll always know? No, I don't think you'll always know it. But if you're real attentive, you'll know that you've spoken life into somebody when you see the lights come on. Look into people's eyes when you talk to them, and you'll see lights come on when they really got a hold of what you said. And see, it's not just about words we're passing here. It's a flow of life. Would you agree to that? It's a flow of life. And she said, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb. What would the womb really be? And here's the processing thing going on up here, isn't it? As soon as my heart processed this, that this was God speaking to me. What happened? Said the baby in my womb leaped. See? And she was the one with responsibility over that baby, wasn't she? See, everybody's got a responsibility for a baby. Every one of us has a son inside of us, the Christ. And whenever God births this by the Word of God being spoken to you, once it comes into your ears, into your spiritual ears, there's no turning this thing back. He that begun a good work in you shall complete it, right? Until the day of the Lord. You know, he'll complete it. Okay, verse 45, right? So blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She's still prophesying and saying, hey, whatever God told you back there, it's going to come to pass. Because the same Spirit is in her speaking, right? And see, that's all we need. There's the way a prophetic word should work. God should speak to you first. And then somebody should come along and witness that word to you. See? Mary didn't hear it from Elizabeth first, did she? Somebody didn't come along and prophesy her life to her. The Spirit of God came to her and talked to her. Right or wrong? There's the way the prophetic word works. You hear it from God first, someone comes along and gives you a witness. If anybody prophesies a word to you first, before you've ever heard it from God, the best thing you can do is cast that thing aside. Because it's probably out of the soulish realm. Somebody's trying to manipulate and control you by their prophetic words. They're trying to tell you what to do. They're implanting them thoughts in your mind. And then when somebody comes up later and says, oh yeah, yeah, that's what so-and-so prophesied to me. There's a witness. No. God's the one that's got to put it in your heart first, not from somebody else. It should be you and God. That's an Ishmael. That's right. That's what you'll do. And Mary said, my soul does what? Magnify? Literally, magnify or celebrate the Lord. See, there's someone that's just...
Ishmael
is the child that's born out of your natural desire. Like Abraham was supposed to have a baby, and he went and got Hagar out of Egypt, out of the worldly thinking. See how that... Okay. So we don't want to create Ishmael in our life. We want to wait and let God create it the way He wants to create it. Right? Okay, where am I at? 47. And my spirit has rejoiced in my what? Deliverer. It's soter, 49:90. I know the King James loves to use this word Savior, but we don't need a Savior. We already got that taken care of. What do we need? Someone to deliver us from our thinking process. See, He already saved us. He's already our Savior. He died on the cross to save all of humanity, right? So guess what we need now? We need this deliverer that will deliver us from our way of thinking. We need the Spirit of God to direct us away from all this religious hoopla that they give us out here so we can understand what God is telling us to do and how to live our life. Does that make sense? Why would Jesus say this in the Gospels? He said, "He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved," King James language. Well, it's the same thing again. He that delivers unto the end shall be delivered. He that endures to the end, same shall be delivered. If I'm already saved, okay, let's say what religion says. I went up here and I slobbered on a board, you know what I mean? Like they tell you you got to do, and say, "Forgive me." Now, if I'm saved even by their standard, then why did Jesus say I had to endure to the end to be saved? Does it make sense? See? Doesn't make sense. But I do need to deliver. I need to endure to the end so I can be delivered. Because you know what? That's how long it's going to take to the end. God knows how long it's going to be. It's going to take our lifetime to be delivered. Clear to the end. Take the full term. Okay? Okay. Verse 48. Because He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden, because behold, from henceforth or from now on, literally the word is noon, it means now, all generations shall call me blessed, because He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is His what? His nature and character. See, not His name. We're not talking about Jesus, the name, being a holy name. There was many people called Jesus in that day. There was many people by the name of Jesus. It was a common name. But see, we're talking about the nature and the character that's holy. God's nature. He did nothing outside of that nature of holiness. You understand what I'm saying? So it wasn't about just the name Jesus. And I'm not disrespecting anything about that. I'm just saying you can say the word Jesus, the name Jesus, over and over and over 10 billion times and it will not change you. The only thing that will change you is His nature. And the only way you're going to understand His nature is through His Word. Does that make sense? Okay? We've got to know what His Word says so we can change our mind. Humanity. See? In our lowly state, where are we at? We're in humanity. We're in this natural earth realm. Okay? In this... what was the word you used, Bob? You said about this whole realm? It's just an illusion.
Yeah.
See, there's the lowly state we're in. We're in this lowly state, and we're just in a world of illusion, and we're just kind of smoke and mirrors. We really don't know what's going on, do we?
No.
But in the spirit realm, we do know. Okay? And His mercy, verse 50. Literally, the word mercy is compassion, if you look in the language. And His compassion is on them that not fear Him, but what? Revere or respect Him from generation to generation, literally into the age of ages. Okay? Into the ages and ages. There's what it is. If we respect Him. See? Because God says, perfect love casts out all. So if God fills us with His love, how could we still fear Him? See? The word fear is not the correct word. He has showed strength, what? In His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination or the understanding of their what? Of their mind. How did God scatter the enemy? He messed their minds up. I can get an amen on that, can I? Do you remember the lepers? It was in Kings. There were some lepers that was outside the city, and they were dying. The people inside, it said they were selling dove's dung. Something else. There were two things they were selling. Gosh, give me, one of them was dove's dung and ass's heads. They sell them the head of an ass for so much money and dove's dung. That's another message. I don't want to go there, but that's a good one. Dove's dung, that means the Holy Spirit's done gone. You know. And the ass's head's the carnal mind. That's what they were all eating on. That's what religion's putting out today. But these two lepers were standing out there, and they couldn't get in the city because they had leprosy. And the army of the Assyrians was out here, I believe it was, and the Assyrians didn't want no part of them. See? They couldn't go anywhere. They were caught in the middle, kind of like what we are. See, we're kind of caught in the middle. We can't go into the city because religious folk won't let you in there. They're afraid of you. And the Assyrians, they don't want you out there. And you know what they said? Hey, you know if we sit here, what's going to happen? We're going to die. Well, let's just go get something. Let's just go see what we can get. Sound like somebody was inspired there a little bit. They said, we're going to die sitting here, so we might as well go over and see if we can get something to eat. And when they went over to get something to eat from the Assyrians, you know what happened? Because they couldn't get through the wall of the city. When they walked to the camp, God put it in the mind of the Assyrians that these two little leprous people walking down the road sounded like a great army. And the Assyrians all just took off and fled. Ah! Took off. How did he mess them up? In their minds. Sure. He just messed up their minds. And they thought that there was a great army pursuing them. And they took off, left all their food and all their wealth and all that stuff. And the Assyrians got in. The two little lepers went in and said, hey, look here. Hey, feast. And they fed it. They pigged out. And they went to the city and said, hey, come on, get all you want. You know what? They wasn't afraid of them then for some reason. Okay? It's amazing. So we got to watch this stuff and see the patterns all through it, okay? But he had compassion on them that fear him from generation to generation. Oh, we're in 51, right? Okay. And he has showed strength in his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination or in the understanding of their minds. And he has put down the mighty or the rulers from their seats of power and authority and exalted them of low degree. Kind of like where he said, Paul said in Corinthians, he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty. And he says, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Jacob in remembrance of his mercy or compassion. Okay. Guess what? We're Jacob. We should be Israel. But we start out as Jacob. And he spoke to our fathers, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed into the ages. And Mary abode with her, with who? Elizabeth. About 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Who was who? John the Baptist. See? But see, everything that God brings forth is what? It's always directed at a son. So Christ was in this man, wasn't he? He didn't understand yet, did he? And he had something to accomplish, did he not? He prepared the way. Are we not doing the same thing? We're preparing the way for the full embodiment of Christ to take place on this earth and do what it's got to do. Okay? And says Elizabeth, full time she came before the son. And verse 58, her neighbors and her cousins, or literally her relatives, heard how the Lord had showed great compassion upon her, and they congratulated her. What should say? They congratulated her. That sounds like religious folk to me. Well, that's interesting. That's nice. That's the kind of words they use. See, they congratulated her, but you know what? Did it say they joined in the celebration? But that's the English in King James language. In the language, it said they congratulated her. See, there's something hid there, isn't it? If I congratulate you, it's not the same as getting in with you and celebrating something going on with you, is it?
There's something going on in my life, and I'm in it. Mm-hmm. I'm in it.
Sure.
You can't really partake of it.
Yeah, but I can congratulate you. But see, the way they say it, she rejoiced with her. See, they rejoiced with her. They didn't rejoice with her. It says in the language, they congratulated her. I can say congratulations, yeah, on your pregnancy. Congratulations. But that still doesn't make me part of it. Right. See, but they didn't. Yeah. But they didn't have nothing to do with that baby. I don't think they was jumping up and down or anything like that. There might have been. And it came to pass on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child. In the eighth day, speaking of what? New beginnings. A circumcision in the Old Testament was similar to what we call water baptism today. Okay, same symbol of it. It was the circumcision of the heart, spiritual, okay? And it was a day of new beginnings. Eight means new beginnings, right? So we see there's a new beginning starting here. And this is the beginning of a new beginning when John the Baptist was born. He was the forerunner that prepared the way of the Lord, right? And Zacharias, and they called him Zacharias. They wanted to name him after his father. And that means remembered by God or remembered of God. And his mother responded and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Wonder how she got that. Because guess what? Zacharias did not tell her that. He couldn't. He was shut up, wasn't he? So the Holy Spirit told her what it was going to be. And they said to her, there is none of your relatives that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father Zacharias how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Why John? He said the same thing she said. Yeah. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spoke and praised God. Now, all he did was agreed with what God said was going to come to pass. And God said, because you doubted what I told you, you're not going to be able to speak till these things come to pass. Well, then when it came to pass, what would you think he'd have happened if he said his name's going to be Zacharias? He probably wouldn't be speaking the rest of his life. See? But he did what God said. And I'm sure going through his mind all these months, sitting here, not being able to speak because he doubted God. Don't you think that rolled his mind a few times? I bet he rolled that thing around so many times it was unbelievable. And then, guess what? It comes to pass. When that son was born and when mama says, his name is John, what do you think went through his mind? He said, as soon as I say amen, I can talk.
He said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody.
I think he's saying, I've had my tongue tied for months, and it's about time for me to let something loose here, and all I got to do is agree with God, and I know, he said, because when this comes to pass, I can speak again. He said, when he prophesied to him, he said, you're going to be deaf. You're going to be deaf and mute until this comes to pass because of your doubts. And you know what? When we're in doubts, are we not really tied in our tongue? See, when we're in doubt and unbelief, it's a lack of faith. How can you speak God's word out of a lack of faith? It's got to come from the very spirit of God before you can speak the word of God. It's nothing to do. If I'm in duality, I can't possibly speak God's word. I can't possibly do it. Yeah, I don't think it'd fly either. Okay? Don't think that would fly. Yeah, be uncertainty, all right. Okay, where am I at? 65. And fear came all them that dwelt round about them. And see, that's what happens around people that don't understand God. Fear. And this fear is fear.
The real fear.
See, fear is not of God. They feared because it's unknown. Most of their relatives. You think their relatives really knew God? God was only dealing with a couple of them, wasn't he? Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. Four people in this whole generation, four people were being dealt with by the Spirit of God, bringing forth two sons, John to prepare the way and Jesus to fulfill it. And guess what? Out of all the generations, all the people, four people. You ever feel like you're in a desert? Huh? If you don't, something's wrong. See, because our life is supposed to be in isolation in our preparation. And the last verse of this chapter will very clearly state that. Okay? We'll get there in a minute. And fear came on all of them that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Okay? And that's exactly where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived, wasn't it? They were out in the hill country of Judea. And all them that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was what? Talk to me. No, it was Mita. The hand of the Lord was in the midst of him. Okay? It was in him. God's work was in him, wasn't he? The hand represents the works. He did the works of God. Could we agree on that? And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. There's another one. What is happening? The Holy Spirit filling these people up and they're prophesying, and the day of Pentecost hadn't come yet. Boy, that blows theology all to pieces, doesn't it? Huh? How many of you heard that there was no Holy Spirit until the time of Pentecost? See? Nobody was filled with the Holy Spirit, they say, until the day of Pentecost. Well, excuse me. On the day of Pentecost, it wasn't an infilling, it was an outflowing. There's the difference. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released out of the people. He wasn't poured into them. There's the difference. People just don't see the difference. Makes a big difference because they all got him, they just don't know about it. There he was released on Pentecost. He was released in these people at this time for God's purpose. For God's purpose. But he prophesied saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel because he has visited and what?" Now the language says it better than redeemed. It says he performed his promise of redemption or deliverance. He performed his promise. And that's exactly what it talked about up there in verse 55 when he said, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, or into the ages. See, it's a witness going back and saying the same thing over back in verse 55. Okay? But he performed the promise of his redemption or his deliverance to his people. And he has raised up what? A horn of salvation, or literally the strength and authority of deliverance. A horn represents strength and authority. Okay? Of not salvation, but again, deliverance. He has raised up this strength of and authority of deliverance, and who did he raise it up in? See, it started with John. And John started preparing the way for Jesus to come in. And he is, let's see, okay, 70. And as he spoke, not by, but through the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the what? The age began. Since the age began. He's been speaking the same message since the ages began. It's the same message. God's not preaching a different message today. He's still preaching the same message today. And see, all that thing that was written, Paul said it very clearly in his writing. He said, everything that happened to them back there was for our learning and our understanding, our admonition, the King James said, but it's for our learning or understanding. It was all to them, for them to show us what to do and what not to do. Okay? Verse 71, that we should be what? Delivered, not saved, that we should be delivered from our enemy. Not enemies, That word is not a plural word. How many enemies you got? Only enemy I got's the one between my ears. Right? Only one you got's the one between your ears. So that we can be delivered from our adversary. And when we see the word adversary, what are we talking about? Satan. Everybody says, oh, devil. No, Satan is the accuser. There's my adversary. The adversary is the Satan. A lot of the language literally says it that way, the Satan. Not giving him preeminence, but to pinpoint the... the enemy here, the Satan, the adversary, the accuser right here. Not accusers plural, but there's only one accuser, the one between your ears. See, when I get accused from outside, it doesn't mean anything. It's the one inside that has the horsepower. When you let that thing inside start accusing you, that's the one that'll kick your teeth out when this one in here starts accusing you. Okay? And from the hand of all them that not literally hate us, it's hate or persecute us. Now, here's the reason to be delivered, okay? He said in verse 71, he says, that we should be delivered from our enemies and from the hand of all his, for what reason? To perform compassion, the compassion that was promised to our fathers. He said, I'm going to raise up a seed, didn't he? Abraham said, I'm going to raise up a seed from you, Abraham. And this is the seed he's talking about. And we are that seed that has come to fulfill this promise, to perform the compassion promised to our fathers and to remember, literally recall to your mind, his holy covenant. See, we're supposed to perform the compassion that was promised to our fathers and to remember the holy covenant that he spoke. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham, there it says it, that he would give to us, not grant, but give to us, that we, being not delivered, but rescued, what the language says, out of the hand of our enemy or the adversary, the Satan, the accuser, not a devil with a pitchfork and horns, but the thing between our ears, see, that we being, what's that word, delivered, past tense? Rescued, past tense, that means it's already been done, doesn't it? See, it's already been done. See, he overcome that, didn't he? Out of the hand of our enemies or adversary, that we might what?
Serve.
Not serve. It should, literally, the language says that we may worship him what? Literally, it says fearlessly. We should be able to worship God fearlessly because of this thing that went on above there, that we are delivered out of the hand of our adversary, our accuser, our Satan, between our ears. When we're there, and that's what it takes to truly worship God. See, as long as I'm bound up in my thinking process, I can do all the religious ditties that everybody wants. I can sing, I can dance, I can clap my hands, I can shout, I can run around the room, I can roll on the floor, swing on the chandeliers, ride the fans, walk on the tables, and it don't change nothing, does it? See? But when I realize this, that when I am delivered from the accuser up here, now, what am I? John 8, 30 and 31. What's he say? He that continues my word shall be to my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And what will set you free? The truth that you know. Not just truth, but the truth that you know. So you could take these Bibles and literally stack them up and build you a house out of them, and they wouldn't do you no good. But if you assimilate this into your spirit, guess what? It'll set you free. You'll be a free person. Okay. That we can worship Him fearlessly. And this is how you're going to do it. In holiness and righteousness before Him for how long? Wait a minute. What if I want to take a week off? Well, what if I want to do something else? He said all the days of your life you'd worship Him in holiness and righteousness without fear. See? But see, that's only when your mind's free. And there's so many people that go to church and think their mind is free, but they're still bound. They're scared of everything in the world. Scared of bugs. They're scared of snakes. They're scared of spiders. They're scared of this. They're scared of that. Oh, there's a storm coming. I'm scared. Well, that's where most of them's at. Scared of dying. I can't wait to get to heaven, but I ain't going to die to get there. I'm going to be raptured. That's what they say. See? Well, God bless. He's going to open that mind up, that pit one of these days, and let them bats fly out of there, and they'll get some light down in there. Okay? Verse 76. And you, now who's he talking to? That's right. He's talking to you as an individual. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the supreme God, because you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare His course or His road. Do you think that's just John the Baptist? You've got to do the same thing. See, I got to walk this path in this desert just like John the Baptist did, preparing a way for Christ to step out. Isn't that what he did? We got to do the same thing. Sure it is. Look at verse 77. Now here, you're going to prepare His way, right? Look what He says in 77. To give knowledge of what? To His people. Hello? See, not knowledge of salvation. They already know they're saved, but they sure don't know they need their minds delivered, do they? Who's going to tell them? Only the ones that has their mind freed up so they can worship Him in holiness and without fear, right? They can cut it loose and just do what you got to do. And see, now when he says worship, he's not talking about, you know, clapping your hands and standing on your head and spinning around in circles and dancing and shouting. That's not worshiping God. That's outward external things. You know, worship God in spirit. Now, you clap your hands in spirit? Do you sing with spirit? See? Here it is, it's in the heart. You worship Him in spirit. You don't do all these dancing. That's not spiritual stuff. That's physical stuff you're doing. You hear what I'm saying? To worship Him in spirit, then I have to be in spirit. I can't do it in my natural understanding. And in our natural understanding, we've took these physical things and said, that's worship. Worship is changing your heart into the heart of God. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to the mind. Sure it is. Do that and you'll be right. And now you're right. See, that's all they want you to do. But see, he said part of our thing is to prepare his way and to give knowledge of deliverance to his people. By the what? By telling them they're all sinners and they're going to hell. Well, that's what the church does. The church says you're a dirty, rotten sinner and you're going to bust the gates of hell wide open. And then you go do what they tell you to do, and they say, well, okay, now you're saved, but you're just a sinner saved by grace. And you'll continue to sin every day of your life, the rest of your life. But as long as you give us your money and you come to church every time we have the door open, you'll be all right. But see, he said, the way we're going to give them knowledge of deliverance to his people is by the pardon of their sins. Somebody's got to come along and say, look, I know you've done wrong. I know you've done wrong. But you know what? What's his blood for? Why did he shed the blood? Every covenant had to have a shedding of blood. He said without the shedding of blood, there'd be no pardon of sins. See? The blood was shed. But see, he said, well, that wasn't your blood. That's what you think. That book says in Romans 6 that when he died, I died. And when he was buried, I was buried. And when he was brought up out, when you come up out of the water in baptism, you're being raised in newness of life just like he was. Now, is that book saying that or not? See, the book says that. So that blood that was shed, you know whose blood that was? That's my blood. You got to proclaim this is your blood. And that's not no naming and claiming it. I'm just telling you, you got to realize in your heart that that was my blood. I died with him. See? It was my blood, and I did it. And I got to say, hey, I've died for you. I died for you. I died for creation. We have to die for creation. See? In our minds, we got to realize that we already did it. It's a done deal. We got to realize it. So, guess what? We've got to pardon their sins somewhere. And it says, pardon their sins through what? Tender compassion of our God. But see, everybody tells them our God wants to throw everybody in hell and burn them forever. And this is talking about a God with tender compassion who wants to deliver creation by the remission of their sins, by the pardon of their sins. He doesn't want to hold them accountable. This does not say that. Says pardon. Well, that's really what happens. See, he's going to give them a pardon, a remission. Remission, the literal language where he says pardon. So he's going to pardon their sin. So it's like this. Steve did something bad, and I say, brother, I forgive you. What did I just do? I give you a pardon. And through the knowledge of the Word of God, that's how we're going to give them a pardon. See, we're going to say, look, God says he loves you. You're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not accountable. See? That's how we're going to set creation free, but not by condemning them. He was born a deliverer to the whole world, not a condemner, as the church tries to teach. Okay? And through the tender mercy of our God, in which the day spring, and what is the day spring? It's literally the sun, the S-U-N, S-O-N, whichever way you want to say it. From on high has visited us. The sun. What did Jesus say? He came from heaven to us, didn't he? He came from a higher realm to us. He visited us. And this is why he came. Look here. What's he here for? To give light, or literally to become visible or to known to them that sit in darkness or ignorance. That's what he came for. He said not to give light to them, but to become visible or to become known to them that sit in ignorance and in the shadow of death. You know what's amazing about that shadow of death? There's got to be a light. There's got to be a light close. And the light is here. And said the light, he says to give light or to become visible or known to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Here's the shadow of death. Right here. This body we're in. And see, the light's right here, and that's why it's darkness. Light and darkness. Good and evil. What's the difference? It's right there. And to guide our what? Our lifestyle in the way or the road of what? peace. That's what he's wanting to do. Does this say he wants to burn anybody in hell? Does it say he wants to punish somebody for doing something wrong? Excuse me, I can't find that. That's not what this book is saying. He was sent for a purpose, didn't he? He was sent for a purpose. I want to back up and show this again. I just want to read over it, just reiterate a little bit. I want to start with verse 71. And he said, as he spoke through the mouth of his prophets, which have been since the age began, that we should be delivered from our enemies, the accuser of our mind, from the hand of all them that hate or persecute us, to perform compassion promised to our fathers, and to recall to our mind his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would give to us, that we, being delivered or rescued out of the hand of our adversary, out of our minds, we may worship him fearlessly and in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. How long? All the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the supreme God, because you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, or his course of life, or his road, to give knowledge of deliverance to his people by the pardon of their sins. How are we going to give them knowledge? By pardoning their sins. Because as long as they think they're in sin, they're in condemnation and guilt. True? And when you let them free, now their mind is free to see the truth. Now you can give them light. Through the tender compassion of our God, in which the Son from on high hath visited us, to give light, or to become visible or known to them that sit in darkness or ignorance and in the shadow of death, to guide our lifestyle in the road or the course of life. Okay? Excuse me, course of peace. Now this 80th verse, this is powerful. And the child grew and became strong how? Did it say anything about his flesh? He grew, and that's in his flesh, and he became strong in spirit. See, his flesh grew, his spirit became strong. You see the difference? And was in the deserts until the day of what? Literally, it says in the language, a public showing or the exhibition to Israel. And what is Israel? Church. See, you're going to be in the desert until Father's time. You can go in Galatians chapter 4, and it said, let me read this to you. In Galatians chapter 4. Just take a second to read this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, Galatians 4:1, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Father, Father. Wherefore there art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How about that? Isn't that what we just talked about tonight? Same thing. We're sons. That's what it's here for. We're here to set creation free. And it's not about our timing. It's about Father's timing. And you're going to live in the desert. I don't care how much you squall and bawl and throw temper tantrums. It don't make no difference. You're not coming out of the desert until Father calls you out. And you know what? When he calls you out, you can't stay. Even if you get comfortable out there. It's a place of preparation, and God's going to put you there, and you're going to stay there until it's his time. You may be ready, but if God ain't ready, you're staying. You don't get to make the choice. Simple as that. I'm enjoying this teaching. I don't know how much you're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it. If nobody gets anything out of it, I am. I'm having fun.